Get Rich Education is brought to you by Narada Real Estate and GRETurnkey.com.
Welcome to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold, giving you information and ideas on the investment that has turned more ordinary people into millionaires and billionaires than anything else, and can provide you with more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Now, here's your host, investor, entrepreneur, business owner, and educator, Keith Weinhold.
Here it is. Hey, welcome to GRE, Get Rich Education, episode 149. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold, and I'm back to help you build your wealth. And I'm coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri today. I plan to talk to you about that some more down the road here. Today, we're going to discuss turnkey real estate investing in Little Rock, Arkansas. And, you know, I was just thinking about something that GRE's own business developer, Marcus Whalen here, told me the other day that I think you're going to like. It kind of made me laugh. Marcus is a savvy real estate investor. He said, "I like the stock market. It's a great place to sell a company." I love that. Yeah, that might be about the only way that the stock market is really going to help you. Well, hey, the real estate market has seen some healthy appreciation over the last 6+ years, and usually appreciating at what actually are historically sustainable rates, too. And it's been great. More importantly, we've been enjoying high rental occupancy rates. As the national homeownership rate is at multi-generational lows, well, then those would-be homeowners are instead our renters. Now, I'm not trying to pour too much vinegar on top of your honey here, but, you know, just because things are generally going quite well for us as real estate investors today, that doesn't mean that we stop paying attention. That doesn't mean that we become complacent. Okay, when things are going well, that's often when you need to be more diligent, because that's when it's easiest for you to stop paying attention to your monthly property manager statements from those various metro markets that you're investing in. Now, I was recently looking at my property manager statement from one market where I own a couple dozen properties, okay? Now, this activity is one that you undertake where you spend those few minutes each month looking at your property manager statement, finding out how your owner draw or your monthly cash flow or your mailbox money, whatever you like to call it, figuring out how that was determined, okay? Your rent income minus all your expenses for the month. Now, I was scrolling through my monthly statement from my manager the other day, and I happened to notice two invoice pages in my statement that itemized some charges that I didn't think I should be paying. So what happened is that a tenant moved out, and I had two charges incurred to me on the make-ready for the new tenancy. One was to replace a spot of flooring because apparently a tenant had placed a hot pot on the kitchen floor, and it made a burn mark, so that section had to be replaced. And the other was that window blinds were damaged beyond repair. Now, at the bottom of each of those invoice pages, the manager had these items marked as tenant paid, as they should be, because those things were deemed beyond normal wear and tear, and then they should therefore be knocked out of the tenant security deposit, not charged to me. They shouldn't be charged to you as the investor. But when you looked at the summary statement of credits and debits for the month, well, those things were charged to me after all. So I replied to the manager that it appears that these tenant charges were erroneously charged to me, and I need to be credited the $350, and then that same amount should be knocked off the tenant security deposit. So the manager realized their error, and they pretty promptly credited the amount back to me. So it's just a concrete example of how I want you to pay attention. And you know, this way, your manager knows that you're paying attention. I actually think that when you have a new relationship with a property manager, scrutinize your monthly statement more closely than usual. Your manager will know that you're an investor that really pays attention. You're putting your property manager on notice, and that is a super crucial relationship between you and your manager for your profitability over time. So you don't want to be ticky-tacky, but sometimes problems are not your responsibility at all. And by the way, that manager is not one of our providers at GRETurnkey.com, and they're not with the provider that's on today's show either. Now, you're often buying turnkey, so you'll likely only have minor repairs, especially during the early years, because you've bought the property newly renovated. But if you do happen to hold onto your property for a number of years and have to have some major maintenance item handled, like a new roof or new HVAC, then what I like to ask my manager to do is obtain at least 3 quotes from qualified companies for those larger types of work. What you do is you request that you receive quotes, not estimates. Don't ask for estimates for major items of work if and when that ever happens to you, but request quotes rather than estimates. Not every time, but asking for a quote rather than an estimate might give you more leverage if you're confronted with a contractor cost overrun. So say you're confronted with an overrun. Between telling the contractor that you were given a quote and the fact that you would have picked any of the other 2 companies that quoted you had you known that there was going to be a cost overrun, well, you might just get a bit more leverage with that contractor to help you keep your expenses in check. 3 quotes will put you in a substantially better position than if you had only asked for 1 estimate, and that company that gave you the 1 estimate has a cost overrun. So the message is that for major items of work, ask for 3 quotes. So we're talking about increasing your profitability here because you're making money chase you. You want to keep that money chasing you from multiple geographic markets, and that's something pretty special and rare that you know how to do this. Most people spend their life following money, chasing money. That is very uninteresting. When I see an acquaintance at a gathering that I haven't seen for a while and I ask them, you know, hey, what have you been up to? And they reply by telling me, oh, I've been working, or I've been putting in a lot of overtime lately. That right there, that is like a conversational rally killer. That is extremely boring. Money is just a facilitator in your life. Money is just a conduit in your life. So chasing money is just like saying that you're chasing gas. You're chasing something that's trying to get you to go somewhere. And that is so boring to hear about. Out chasing gas again. So you make money follow you with income property. And what makes your income streams durable and what keeps the money chasing you? Well, it's investing in a geographic market with diverse economic sectors, with experienced communicative management, and a property that cash flows. And that's just what we're talking about in a highly actionable way for you today. Jeremy Veldman is a principal with Little Rock Turnkey. Previously, he was an electronics engineer for a Silicon Valley-based semiconductor company. Since 2009, he's been a full-time real estate entrepreneur and former president of Memphis REIA. He owns and manages a portfolio of income properties himself. Welcome back to Get Rich Education, Jeremy Veldman.
Thank you, Keith. It's great to hear your voice again and be back on the show.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. We've continued to see real estate prices run up since I first had you here on the show in episode 89. That's been a national trend. What happens with real estate investors that they really need to be careful of when markets heat up and prices get higher and it can be more difficult to find those metros where rent incomes keep up proportionally to purchase price? One mistake I see investors make is they go off into not just secondary metro markets, but tertiary metro markets where just to find a property that makes the numbers work, an investor might be investing in a tiny speck of a town with only 30,000 people where that metro economy is dependent on just one industry. But in Little Rock, and we did a field trip there over a year ago now, in Little Rock, you have an MSA with a population of 700,000, a city proper of 200,000 residents, and you do have those rent incomes to purchase prices that still make sense for investors. And despite that size, it still behaves like a larger metro market because you have such a diversity of industry there in Little Rock. So just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's really the key to Little Rock and why it's so attractive to us as a market to invest in. It's not as heavily exposed nationally as the other larger metro markets throughout the country. The Memphises, the Dallases, the Indianapolises, Kansas Cities, and those are all great markets. Little Rock flies under the radar a little bit, but when you get down to it, it's a really fantastic market to invest in. Capital City of Arkansas, like you said, the number is about 200,000 strong in proper, the MSA about 700,000 strong. That includes Little Rock and North Little Rock, but The advantage of a capital city is you have all the recession-proof jobs there.
Right.
The government jobs that aren't going to go away regardless of what market cycle that we're in. Also, it's a very diverse economy. It's not dependent on any one sector like you get in some cities. Detroit, automotive. If the automotive industry changes, there goes the city. You don't see that in Little Rock. It's the opposite of that. You see diversity from not only government jobs, but, you know, close to 80,000 healthcare jobs. You got major universities in Little Rock. You've got two Fortune 500 companies that are housed in Little Rock. Axiom is there. Dassault Falcon Jet is there. Camp Robinson to the north employs over 5,000 Army National Guard personnel. I could go on and on. But all that adds up to not only a central location, capital city, but recession-proof jobs and a diverse economy, which means stability for the investor.
I can't remember the last time I saw a United States state capital city get offshored.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, those jobs absolutely stay there. And in Arkansas, it really tilts toward being landlord-friendly. In fact, in a lot of cases, I've seen Arkansas be named the number one landlord-friendly state of all 50 states.
Yeah, and you're loosening that up a little bit. But bottom line is, if a tenant is one day late on the rent, you, the landlord, can file the eviction. Now, that may have changed. Like I said, legislation is loosening up the standards to be more in favor of the tenant. But in Little Rock, if a tenant's late, you can file the eviction. You, the landlord, are not necessarily obligated to fix things. The tenant cannot withhold rent if you refuse to fix things as a landlord. And it used to be a crime to stay in a property longer than a certain period of time. It's called the failure to vacate law.
Right.
Those things have loosened up a little bit. But the bottom line is, if we have to go through an eviction, we can usually get them out of there in 15 days.
Yeah, in fact, in Arkansas, landlords are not even required to make repairs unless it's stated in the lease agreement, and renters can't withhold rent for any reason. Now, we're ethical business people, you know, we want to do better than that and make repairs in a timely fashion. So maybe the best way to say it is, this is something that we want to take advantage of, but we don't want to exploit.
Exactly. I mean, we're not trying to promote in any way people being slumlords. Take care of your properties, take care of your tenants. That's why I got to be kind of careful how I say that. But just to give you an idea of how heavily skewed things are in favor of the landlord, what you said is absolutely correct. We're not obligated to make repairs. They still have to pay the rent.
Yeah, and you can get those timely evictions in Arkansas. And I would go ahead and guess that that's not going to change anytime soon. You're probably still going to be able to get pretty prompt evictions, even if the law is tweaked.
Yep, that's exactly right.
When you're going ahead and looking to purchase a property to put into your portfolio that you rehab for an investor, I'm just kind of wondering what kind of areas you go ahead and buy in, and what really makes a go and a no-go decision between Little Rock Turnkey deciding to buy a property that's going to make sense for the investor. And just to review what Turnkey is what a turnkey company like Little Rock Turnkey does is they go ahead and identify a property in a safe area, but that's fallen under some distress or bought out of foreclosure. They go ahead and do a complete rehabilitation of the property, and Jeremy can tell us what that consists of later. And then they go ahead and sell it to an investor after they have it tenanted, typically, and then they also hold it under management for you. So that's what makes it turnkey for an investor. So just tell us, Jeremy, a little bit, kind of from the genesis of that process, what areas do you buy in and why? What do you look for?
Well, we don't invest in war zones, so cars and bars, we stay away from those areas. Bars on the windows and cars in the lawn. If you see a lot of that, or if you see people active on the streets in broad daylight hours, clearly they're not working, we avoid those areas. We look for areas that are the opposite of that, where you still see the evidence of pride of ownership, well-groomed lawns, houses that are taken care of, and a mix of not only distressed properties that we can pick up and reposition, but also established homeowners that have been in those areas for a while. We like the Midtown area of Little Rock, Burns Park. We like the John Barrow area, even some of the areas of Southwest Little Rock, and even the areas like Cloverdale Watson. Now, these are not necessarily areas that you would want to live in yourself, but these are areas that are still solid blue-collar areas. People have jobs, they work. And, you know, like I said, you see a mix of rentals, but also we want to see enough properties there that have long-term homeowners and the pride of ownership clearly established. We don't want to be in areas where there's a lot of board ups, a lot of distress, not necessarily one or two properties, but lots of properties, lots of streets that are just clearly areas that are dead and not coming back. And we also want to be in areas that have anchors, close proximity to freeways, restaurants, gas stations, shopping, all the things that both tenants and homeowners need throughout the course of their daily lives. So we're scattered throughout the city, but very strategic about the areas where we invest. And we only target those areas that essentially people want to live in. And then we can pick up properties and reposition them and really feel good ourselves after the renovation process is complete about taking back a distressed property, adding value to the city, and creating an opportunity for a tenant to experience the benefits of home ownership.
Me as an individual, if I look for a home to live in myself, I'm kind of wearing homeowner goggles and I'm looking for certain things that might give me a feeling. But as an investor, when I go into a market, I'm wearing my investor goggles. Well, facts take precedence over feelings. When I toured the Little Rock market with you, I saw a lot of well-kept homes in neighborhoods that were safe. Like if I asked myself the "do I feel safe here" question as we went across different areas in neighborhoods of the city, every time I could adequately answer that "do I feel safe here" question, yes. So we're seeing oftentimes brick homes, some of them built in the 70s and 80s, oftentimes with spacious lawns and mature trees. And like you said, that's part of buying strategic, because you don't just want a property where the numbers work. You want that type of neighborhood that is going to attract that sort of tenant where they actually do pay the stated rent.
That's correct. Yeah, most of what we do are single family houses, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms and up. Occasionally we'll do a 3-1 if it's in an area that's hot rental wise, meaning we can place a tenant pretty quickly, and then the location sells the property. So, but for the most part, people like that extra bathroom, so we go with the 3-2s, mostly brick structures, and we're doing an extensive renovation on the structure so that when people walk in, they know that's the best house in that price range, and they want to rent from us immediately.
Tell us about the renovation extent that's done.
Well, a good example is a property we're currently working on 3515 Green. You look at it on the outside, clearly distressed, although when it's done, it's going to look fantastic. But I mean, on the inside, it's full makeover. New flooring, brand new kitchen. We're essentially taking it down to the studs in some parts of the house, including the bathrooms and the kitchen. It's going to get all complete makeover. Tile floors in the kitchens and bathroom. It's going to get all new kitchen countertops, probably granite, new cabinets, new sink, new faucet. Appliances, we provide a dishwasher, occasionally a stove, but in markets like, you know, Little Rock, the tenants are really responsible for the appliances. So I just want to make that caveat because I get that question a lot. You, the investor, want to be in the investment business, not the appliance business. Bathrooms, all new fixtures. You're basically getting a brand new bathroom in that particular house. And then the flooring we like in most of the high trafficked areas is going to be vinyl plank flooring. And this is where I think we've really upped our game over the years, gotten away from carpet, except in bedrooms where people basically place their furniture and that's it. But in hallways, in the living room area, the den, the high trafficked areas, we've got this rich looking Traffic Master vinyl plank flooring that's also more durable. So it's going to stand the test of time with multiple tenant turns. And then in that particular house, you have a den with a fireplace in the back. So it's going to be a nice home when it's done. And clearly, a lot of time, effort, and care has gone into the renovation. We spend on average $25,000 to $30,000 per project.
Yeah, that's substantial. And yeah, that vinyl plank flooring, I mean, that's just become kind of the popular flooring among, I guess, people that really know what they're doing and are pretty sensible and do have something that's really decent looking. A lot of times, by the way, you do want that vinyl plank flooring to be kind of lighter in color rather than darker in color. Lighter in color motifs, they kind of end up making a room look bigger. That's really attractive to tenants. It doesn't show the dust easily. So light to medium colored vinyl plank flooring is really the way to go. And you mentioned tenant supplied appliances. That's something that the investor just doesn't need to be responsible for. And that's something that's kind of unique to that area of the country. I know in Memphis, you see a lot of that too. The Little Rock market is about 2 hours almost directly west of Memphis. And yeah, as you go around these cities, including Little Rock, you see all these sort of used appliance stores. So that's something that is a cost and a maintenance item that's not borne on the investor.
Yeah, and I get this question a lot from people who come in town and visit. You know, what about appliances? It's a bewildering look to think, how can you provide a home that doesn't have a stove? And if you're selling a property retail, I'm a licensed real estate agent, you definitely have to have a cooking source in order to close on the sale of a property. But if you're a landlord, if you're a property owner and you're renting your property to somebody else, that's another lever that you can pull in your favor that gives you flexibility. It stacks the cards in your favor where the tenant now has to provide their own appliances. They know it going in, stove, refrigerator, washer, dryer, which means they're also responsible for fixing it. Because if you don't, they're going to be calling you when something breaks. And if they live hard, they're going to be potentially abusive to the appliances. You want to give the tenants ownership of something so that they have incentive to take care of it.
That's a great point. And gosh, in Arkansas, that's just another thing that tilts into the favor of the landlord rather than the renter. You mentioned a particular address there, 3515 Green. And I want to ask you about typical square footages and price points and rent-to-value ratios. Do you have those for 3515 Green, or is that a pretty good typical case?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good example of what we do. This is a brick house. It's four bedrooms, two bathrooms. It has a carport. Living area is about 1,500 square feet. We're offering it for $105,000, and we're projecting rent about $1,050 a month, so we're right at the 1% rule. What I like is what we're doing on the inside. We're talking a full gut in the kitchen and the bathroom. When it's done, you're basically getting a brand new house. We're going to have granite countertops in the kitchens, a new HVA system, a new roof. So we're taking this thing back all the way, including a brand new roof, a new hot water tank. The HVA system is only 1 year old, and then countertops in the kitchen. So it's going to be one of these properties that really shows well when it's done.
And I remember walking the properties with you. Your properties there kind of max out at that maybe 140 to 150K price point. Is that still about right?
Yeah, we still do a few of those. We've got one of them on our website right now in Malmö that we just finished up. You know, we're targeting a tenant. This is on 47 Ophelia. We're offering that one at $155,000. It's a 3, 2.5. I drove by that neighborhood on April the 8th. And I can tell you this, the exact reason why it was that day. But it was a fantastic neighborhood. The neighbors across the street were great. I talked to them for a minute. Clearly the pride of ownership all around, almost no distressed properties. I mean, Malmö is a really nice area to live in. If you were to move to Little Rock, that may be one area that you would target yourself to live in. So we still do those, but a lot of what we offer is in the low 100s.
Yeah, and when you're in one of those desirable neighborhoods, oftentimes, that's a constraint against the tenant wanting to move out, because where are they going to move to? They already have a sound home in a good neighborhood, and that helps with tenant retention.
Yeah, you screen them right, you place good tenants, and then you manage them right. You're giving them an opportunity. If they have dings in their credit and can't qualify for a mortgage, they can still experience the benefits of owning a quality property like 47 Ophelia, even though they're leasing it from you, the landlord.
We look at rent-to-value ratio, and we're looking at just kind of one of those topical numbers as to what makes sense for an investor. I seem to be calculating, after I had my field trip with you there, a tax rate of about 1.2%. So that meaning for a $100,000 property, you'd pay about $1,200 in property taxes. Is that ratio about right? Is that about representative for the properties that you deal with here?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. In some cases, it's actually lower than that. I mean, I think that's another advantage to Little Rock as a market. Very low property taxes. I mean, if you take a home in Little Rock and compare it to a similar home in another market, you know, Memphis, Dallas, of course, Dallas is maybe a little bit of an outlier because they have pretty high property taxes there. But
yeah,
something comparable, Little Rock usually beats out any market in the area of property taxes. So it's a very favorable property tax rate in Little Rock.
Yeah, when we talk about numbers, rent to value, that's a valuable topical number. But when you go ahead and take a number that's that simple, then you need to go ahead and look at the numbers underlying that. So really the next two things that I look at when I'm just talking about numbers after rent to value ratio are, number one, what are the property taxes like? And then secondly, what kind of interest rate I'm going to get, which is something that we have somewhat less control over than we do property taxes. Well, Jeremy and I are going to come back. We're going to talk more about affordability and tenant incomes and just what that tenant profile looks like, because that's who's making your income stream passive. You're listening to Get Rich Education. Our guest is Little Rock Turnkey's Jeremy Veldman. More when we come back. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
This is Paradigm Life's Patrick Donahoe. Listen to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold and don't quit your daydream.
Welcome back to Get Rich Education with our guest, Jeremy Veldman from Little Rock Turnkey, littlerockturnkey.com. So, Jeremy, let's talk about the character of the tenant that's typically attracted there. What's the tenant income look like? What kind of job might they have?
Well, we screen them pretty thoroughly. They need to make at least three times the rent amount in terms of gross income. We look at their credit also. We don't want to see any foreclosures, any evictions, any judgments of any kind that could impair them from paying the rent in a timely fashion or, of course, history of not being diligent when it comes to paying their bills. Now, again, these are tenants, so their credit is not going to be stellar necessarily, but we screen them pretty carefully. As far as the tenant profile, it's across the board. I mean, we get small families, we get individuals, we get a lot of single mothers who have a few kids for whatever reason. There's a lot of broken families out there, unfortunately, sadly enough. But if she has a job and she's working, we'll go ahead and place them. As far as where they work, a lot of blue-collar jobs in Little Rock, a lot of small businesses, restaurant employees. We've even rented to mailmen in the past. And then, of course, there's a lot of jobs in the downtown area. The universities locally employ a lot of people. We've rented to some of them as well. So it's really hard to narrow down one particular segment because when you look at the tenant spread, it really is across the board. Everything from families to single people to, like I said, a lot of single mothers. And then people that work in just a variety of industries in Little Rock.
Yeah, and that's actually what you want to hear. You don't want to hear that they're all military people or that they're all food service workers. You don't want them to be all in one industry. So that's really the answer you want. I mean, you want that diversity of employment because that's a diversity of your income streams there across Little Rock as an investor. What do you do in the case where, say, a tenant has a low credit score, but maybe the reason they have a low credit score might even have a judgment against them is you learn that they have high medical bills or that sort of thing that where they might be a pretty good person with a sound job, but what's so easy for people to go bankrupt or have insurmountable medical bills. I mean, do you go ahead and look at one-off cases like that and just see what the exact reason is for why they have a dent in their credit?
Absolutely. And that's a perfectly legitimate reason to be a renter instead of a homeowner. I mean, life happens, people fall down. And that's really one of the most satisfying things about our business on the tenant side is that we can provide people an opportunity to get back on their feet and to be homeowners again, or to experience the, like I said, the benefits of homeownership while they're renting a home and perhaps rebuilding their credit. So if there's a logical reason why, then we can usually push them through. We do disqualify a lot of people on the front end, though. We'll loosen our standards if a property's been vacant for a month or two and we're eager to get it rented. But we put a lot of care and a lot of time into renovating the property right. And we want to deliver a quality product to the end investor. So it's not uncommon for us to deny 15 to 20 applicants on the front end before we actually rent the property.
Sure. Yeah, that case-by-case basis can be awfully important. Someone might have a low credit score just due to having medical bills that they've made late payments on or something of a similar sort, and that might be okay unless they show that they have three forcible entry and detainers on the records, which is the name for what some states call evictions. So that's part of the case-by-case basis and weighing everything out.
Yep.
So when it comes to tenants and tenants reliably paying the rent, Jeremy, I was just reading about something very interesting, and it's not always about what is the rent or what is the income. It's about income versus rent amount, which is really an affordability index. I was recently reading about how much hourly income is needed to rent a two-bedroom rental homes in all of these various states. In Hawaii, it's $35. In Alaska, it's $24. In California, it's $31. That's what your hourly income needs to be at a minimum to rent a two-bedroom rental home. Texas, $18. New York, $28. Ohio, $15. And the lowest of all 50 states was Arkansas. In Arkansas, you only need to make a wage of at least $13.72 per hour to rent and afford a two-bedroom rental home. And yet the state minimum wage in Arkansas is $8.50. So you really don't even need to make that much more than minimum wage in Arkansas in order to be able to pay the rent on a two-bedroom rental home.
Yeah, that's an amazing statistic. Minimum wage gets you more than 60% of the way to affording the rent on a two-bedroom home in Little Rock. So, and that's consistent with some of the other statistics that we're seeing with that particular market as far as the numbers of the market are concerned. I mean, low cost of living. The unemployment rate in Little Rock is 1.5 percentage points lower than the national average. The living expenses in Little Rock are 11.2% below the national average. And the unemployment rate is also at 3.7% compared to 3.9% for the state of Arkansas and 5.2% for the nation. So the unemployment rate, the cost of living rate, those two numbers specifically are lower than what we're seeing nationally, which is consistent with what you're saying regarding the affordability for rent for basically a two-bedroom house in Little Rock.
Yeah, Little Rock's just so representative of this non-flashy market that just kind of consistently chugs along, and you get this slow appreciation and you get that durability of an income stream at the same time. And I seem to remember from our visit there that you typically get 18-month leases when a tenant moves in. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's really one of our main core values is tenant retention long-term. Again, we place a lot of effort and a lot of care into renovating the home on the front end. So if we're going to rent this out and sell it to an investor, the investor really needs to have more than 12 months of sustainable, consistent cash flow on the front end to recoup their initial investment. So we do an 18-month lease. People have no problem signing that typically. 24 is stretching it. 12 is just simply not long enough. So the goal is 18 months on the front end. If they're a good tenant, get them to re-sign for at least another 12 months, and that model has worked well for us, a tenant retention rate on average of 33 months across the board.
Yeah, that's a fantastic tenant duration there. Let's talk about management. What's the total management portfolio size there, and then what's your current vacancy rate as well?
It's 500 strong. Our vacancy rate consistently month over month across the 500 plus properties that management is controlling there right now is below 4%. What I really like about Little Rock is the hands-on approach to property management. Jamie Hoffman heads up the Hoffman team. It's mainly his family as well as a few other employees. This guy is just simply wired to be a property manager. Comes from an accounting background, but property management is his passion, and he's out there daily, taking phone calls, meeting with tenants, checking on projects, getting updates. And basically, it's a relationship-driven property management approach. And I know it sounds a little bit old school, but it's worked remarkably well for us in Little Rock. One of the drawbacks that I'm seeing industry-wide in turnkey is investors losing touch with their property management company and getting frustrated in their efforts to get timely communication. That doesn't happen in Little Rock. Jamie is on it. He's our, you know, our point man when it comes to property management. And I check daily in our office, well, weekly in our office with Holly on how things are going in Little Rock. And she just says, simply says, I don't hear any complaints from anybody, any of our investors about their experience in Little Rock. So I really got to give a shout out to Jamie and the job he's doing managing our portfolio over there.
And he's not some flash in the pan. Jamie's been in your properties for Little Rock Turnkey for how long there, Jeremy?
20 plus years. Ryan and Jamie have been doing investing in Little Rock. So Jamie's been in the business for 20 years. His dad has been in the business, I believe, for twice as long as that. So collectively, they have over 50 years of experience.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brian and Jamie. Brian being your partner there at Little Rock Turnkey. Tell us a little bit more about the neighborhood there. How many owner-occupants versus renters tend to own there in those neighborhoods where you're buying?
Yeah, it's about a two-thirds to one-third ratio, two-thirds being homeowners and one-third being renters. That's true across the board for the cities of Little Rock and North Little Rock, and it's also pretty consistent with what we're seeing in the areas that we target. Some of the more affluent areas like Malmill that are typically A-class, that ratio may be skewed on the higher end toward homeowners and the lower end toward tenants, and vice versa, maybe in some of the B-class areas that we invest in, the Cloverdale-Watson area. Yeah, it's probably consistent, 2/3 to 1/3. You contrast that to markets like Memphis, which are about 50-50 and probably more like 55-45, 55% being tenants and 45% being homeowners. Some people like that, some people don't. What I like about Little Rock is there's a supply and demand issue with 2/3 being homeowners, 1/3 essentially being tenants. So that tends to, if we do a good job in the renovation, we hit all our marks, make our property stand out, and then the supply and demand issue tends to make them rent pretty well. And people, they want a quality home to live in if they're a tenant as well as a homeowner. So it's about 2/3 to 1/3.
Yeah, that probably would have been my guess. You know, sometimes just driving through these neighborhoods when I drove through them with you, those neighborhoods do show quite a bit of pride of ownership. So I was going to guess, yeah, it's at least 60% owner-occupant in the neighborhoods where you buy turnkeys. And yeah, okay, it's 2/3. That's not surprising. You see that pride of ownership apparent in those neighborhoods. You see neighbors maintaining their flower beds and driving cars that are obviously well-maintained. And people, as soon as the trash is collected, having the garbage can pulled back from the street, and just all those big things and little things that show a lot of pride of ownership in the neighborhood. And those are the kind of things that make tenants want to stay longer.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
As we wrap up here, Jeremy, just any final thoughts at all on Little Rock, the market overall, from big to small, or management or tenants or anything?
I will say this in closing, and I was there a couple weeks ago. Little Rock is a really nice city. There's a certain feel that you get in the downtown area that I don't get in a lot of cities. It's clean. It's well kept. You're on the river. It's very scenic. It's nice. If you walk the strip downtown, there's a lot of little restaurants, little shops. Remember sitting in the coffee shop a couple weeks ago, just looking out and just really admiring the city for really how nice it is. It's got all the amenities of a larger city, but convenience of a small city, 17-minute commute anywhere for people who typically live there. So there is a certain pride associated with living in Little Rock that I think is summed up in this quote that's in our Little Rock report. Little Rock is a magnetic force. I've encountered a steady stream of young people who grew up here, left at some point to establish or further careers in other cities, and then upon starting a family, made the decision to move back to Little Rock because they realized that this is the best possible place to raise children. Jeff Hathaway, Coldwell Banker, 2016. And that really is, in a nutshell, the feeling you get from being there. So if you have the chance to come in town, meet our team, see our properties, I would just recommend spending a few minutes downtown, and you'll really get the essence of what Little Rock is.
I understand all of that. Little Rock really has that sort of down-home charm that I must say I didn't feel that particular feeling in any other turnkey market that I visited. So, Jeremy, if listeners want to find out more, what's the best way to get a hold of you in Little Rock Turnkey?
The best place is our website, littlerockturnkey.com. You can also visit memphisturnkey.com. It's essentially two markets, one team. Click on the info tab, fill out your details. I'll get an email immediately and respond to you with a report. You can also email us directly, info@memphisturnkey.com, and I'll give you all the information you need on Little Rock and schedule a call if you'd like to do that.
Jeremy Veldman, well, that's a great market, and it's been great having you back on the show.
Keith, always a pleasure. Really admire the things that you're doing with this podcast and wish you nothing but the best.
All right, great catching up with you again, Jeremy. If you happen to go on a tour with Little Rock Turnkey, consider staying at the hotel where I stayed, the Capitol Hotel, this great stately hotel right in the middle of Little Rock's downtown with good amenities and a helpful concierge service there. Grab the Little Rock Turnkey report and more. Those resources that Jeremy mentioned are in the show notes. Happy investing, and I'll be back next week to help you build your wealth. Until then, don't quit your daydream.
Listening to Get Rich Education, telling you what the wealthy won't tell you about real estate and investing.
Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Get Rich Education LLC exclusively.
The preceding program was brought to you by your home for wealth building, GetRichEducation.com.